This is The Headline with Brandon Waltons, where we talk about the biggest stories from across Texas. Hello, everybody. Happy Friday. Welcome to The Headline. I'm Brandon Waltons, the managing editor here at Texas Scorecard, and we've got a number of big stories from across the state this week that we're going to be talking about. Democrats being in charge, holding committee chairmanships in the Texas House. Should that come to an end? Also, parental rights advocates are upset with Governor Greg Abbott over some of his latest legislative endorsements. I'll be talking about that with none other than Michael Quinn Sullivan in just a few moments. But first, I've got Jacob Asmussen to talk about a number of stories that you had up at TexasScorecard.com this week, dealing with some related issues. But first, I want to talk about what's going on in Austin ISD. Okay, the school district in the state's capital hosted a Pride Week, capped off by this Pride Out party that a lot of parents are looking at and saying they don't want to see this in their school district.
Yeah, so you have Austin ISD officials hosting this week-long celebration of LGBT sexual conduct. They're teaching these hazardous sexual behaviors and gender confusion to kids. So they cap off the week with this Pride Out party, which included scantily clad drag queen performances and all kinds of LGBT organization booths promoting even more deviant sexual behavior, all of this to children who can barely even read yet.
And, you know, a lot of people will watch this and they'll see the pictures, right, of some of these events happening. They'll think, well, that's Austin. That's not going to happen in my school district. And yet we've seen that what happens in Austin, you know, is often only just a few years ahead of what happens in other parts of the state.
It's true. School districts across the state are facing backlash for their controversial sex ed curriculums, teaching these kinds of behaviors to children as young as kindergarten. And you also have all kinds of sexually explicit books available in children's school libraries, and we've covered that a lot at TexasScorecard.com. But like you said, it's happening in all of the big cities across the state and in communities that you wouldn't expect it, small kind of towns across the state.
Yeah, Fredericksburg, Granbury, right, smaller towns. People would think we're conservative, and yet we're seeing this there. The good thing on this, though, is that, you know, these parents are not just victims to these school boards. You actually see a lot of cases where parents are fighting back, and they are going to those school board meetings, and they are holding their school board members accountable.
You see some of that in North Texas. You see some of that in Central Texas, in Fredericksburg, in Keller, in Granbury, some of these different places where parents are finding these pornographic books. And we're not just, you know, we don't use that word lightly, right? These we've covered these at TexasScorecard.com. Graphic sex scenes in children's books that have no educational value whatsoever. But you're seeing these parents find these books and go to the school boards and say, hey, can you teach our kids how to read and do math and not do that right now?
You know, speaking of schools, right, you had the Texas legislature last session, or last year rather, pass a bill that would protect girls' sports, essentially from boys competing in them. This extended to UIL sports, so that's middle school, high school. Notably, they did not extend it to college, and yet now there's a new movement for them to do so when they return next year.
Yeah, so part of that LGBT ideology is teaching these kids that they can turn into whichever biological sex or even creature that they feel like, and that is wreaking havoc on children across the state and nationally. I mean, we're seeing that with the NCAA college sports. You had Leah Thomas, a biological male, who was allowed to swim in the NCAA National Championship swimming event and took first place from other women. And so you're starting to see this problem in college sports across the nation, which is why that's renewing the movement here in Texas to protect women's sports in college. Like you said, this debate was happening several years ago. And even last year, the Texas legislature finally decided to do something, but they only applied the protections to K through 12. And so now, you know, parents and citizens are saying, look, don't just protect high school girls, protect all women's sports.
Yeah, and a lot of the pushback then was because the NCAA, which oversees all the college sports, essentially threatened lawmakers, threatened Texas, said, we're going to pull, you know, our big events, our big championships from Texas if you pass this law. And a lot of people sort of cowered to that. I mean, the bill did not pass out of, you know, any of the chambers in the Senate. When Governor Greg Abbott put the item of protecting girls' sports on a special session call, he left out college sports specifically, very explicitly said, essentially, only do high school sports. And yet now we've seen some new movement on this. Earlier this week, Lieutenant Governor Dan Patrick told Texas Scorecard, and I'm just going to read his quote here, he said, we need to protect women's sports at all levels, including college, no matter what the NCAA says or thinks. We will have a bill next session addressing this matter. And this is notable because, you know, Lieutenant Governor Dan Patrick's out here speaking about it. And yet, you know, Speaker Dade Phelan has been very quiet on it and is somebody who is probably, by all measures, probably not actually really someone who would be an advocate for this legislation.
Right, and Speaker Phelan was one of only a handful of Republican lawmakers who received a positive grade from a pro-LGBT organization that opposed these safeguards.
Sure.
So interesting connections there. Like you said, you know, lawmakers cowering to the NCAA's threats. But like you said, notable that Lieutenant Governor Patrick is now on the record saying we're going to do this. So citizens can now hold him to that.
Well, we'll see. It certainly looks like you've got a bit of a showdown facing, you know, setting up for the next session. So
definitely
be interesting to follow. Thank you, Jacob.
Thank you.
Well, speaking of legislation dying in the Texas Capitol, oftentimes Democrat committee chairs are to blame. State Representative Brian Slayton says that needs to stop. Check out this clip.
It is 100% on us, and we don't get to blame the Democrats. I'm Brian Slayton. I'm State Representative, House District 2, which is Hunt, Hopkins, and Van Zandt counties. A lot of people have asked, you know, and also sometimes are surprised to know that Democrats serve as chairman in the Texas House, and that's 100% true. We spent a lot of money in the general election to defeat Democrats. A lot of narratives are written about, you know, how bad they are, how we don't want them in leadership. We don't want them to have the elected office. But yet in the Texas House, we literally give them chairmanships, which means they have more leverage and more power than they earn on election day. I don't think other members necessarily hide it. I think they just accept it. A lot of it is the legislature is treated as just a club. I mean, there's a lot of nice people. We have to hang out together and we go to meals and other things. We're with each other a lot. So of course they want a camaraderie. And I think the Republican members don't want to mess that up. I think they're hoping that if the Democrats take over, that the Democrats will make sure they're chairman, or they just want to have this persona as being bipartisan. The problem is what we lose while they're gaining the friendship, the bipartisan persona, and all that, we're losing good conservative public policy being implemented in our life.
And you can check out that full video with State Representative Brian Slayton at TexasScorecard.com. Now I'm being joined by Michael Quinn Sullivan, our publisher. You know, Representative Slayton makes a really, really interesting point, which is that for all the talk of Republicans versus Democrats in the Texas legislature, you know, in Congress, if Beto O'Rourke was in the Texas House, he could be a committee chair.
Yes, you know, in even-numbered years, you've got the, you know, you've got the kabuki theater of Republican versus Democrat, that sort of thing. But in the odd-numbered years in Texas, you know, the Republicans are giving legislative power to Democrats. And we wonder why it is that so many of our, so many of the conservatives' agendas aren't being advanced. Why, mm-hmm. you know, we take smaller steps towards our goals than you would think in a state that is GOP dominated. Well, it's because everything you see mm-hmm. in 2022, Republican versus Democrat, is kabuki theater. It mm-hmm. It's a joke. Here are April Fool's Day. It's a joke on all of us that we all just kind of go along with. And for that to change is going to require each of us having some really difficult conversations, you know, with our state reps, our state senators, and explain to them, you know, we may go to church together, your kids and my kids might have the same color soccer shirts or whatever it might be, mm-hmm. but enough is enough.
Mm-hmm. And it certainly seems like momentum is building to end this practice. I mean, you know, years ago, people wouldn't even think to to end this practice. Now you've got literally a vast majority of Republican voters voting earlier, or last month, I guess now, a month ago, in the primary election, saying that they want to get rid of this practice. And so you've got that record on hand. You've got people pushing for this. Do you think there's going to be pushback from lawmakers?
There's absolutely going to be pushback from lawmakers because lawmakers, you know, I mean, this is a painful truth that many members of the Texas legislature do not see themselves, no matter what they say, no matter what they're going to have in the mailer you get, where they, you know, talk about working for you in Austin, they don't actually believe that. Who they work for is the crony lobby in Austin, and the crony lobby in Austin is far more interested in getting special handouts and carve-outs for their clients, funneling money from your pocket to other people's pockets, and they don't want to have any of this partisan Republican, Democrat ideology, ideas, values, principles. None of that enters into the equation. And until we start electing members of the legislature who are more interested in working for their citizens than they are working for the crony lobby, this isn't going to change.
Yeah, I believe when State Representative Slayton offered his amendment to do exactly that last time, to end this practice of awarding committee chairmanships to the minority party, you know, he was joined by four or five members.
Yeah, well, and you look at, they only had five members join him, but then it's look at who opposed him, vocally from the front microphone in front of the, you know, entire state of Texas. You had State Representative Briscoe Kane, from the Freedom Caucus, conservative, go fight the Democrats guy. Oh, but wait. Oh, we can't do that, he said. Mm-hmm. Why? Because, of course, that's what the power base is built on. That's what Speaker Dade feel, and that's what, you know, everything that happens in the Texas Capitol is built on the idea that they are the ones in charge. There's the uniparty, and they're the ones in charge. And yeah, when they go home, it's okay to bash the Democrats and bash the Republicans. That's okay at home. You know, that's campaign talk. But when we're legislating, we got to set all that stuff aside because the crony lobby needs things done, and that's why they see themselves here.
You know, speaking of, when you talk about, you know, we're still, even when we're talking about next legislative session, we're still in election time for some of these legislative runoffs. And you saw this week Governor Greg Abbott really ramp up. He had done a few endorsements of some candidates here and there, mostly incumbents. But now he's endorsing some of these open races that are in runoff elections. You know, and his endorsements are really making some people upset. I did point out, you know, we've got an article at TexasScorecard.com yesterday. Specifically, you've got parental rights advocates upset over a couple endorsements he made of Justin Berry and Baron Castile, two people who are running in a Republican primary runoff in Central Texas in two different districts. These are candidates who are endorsed by teachers' unions. Teachers unions who normally endorse Democrats, they get their endorsement, and it's leading those advocates to wonder if Governor Greg Abbott is really on their side.
Yeah, look, I mean, those two races in particular are very fascinating because, you know, here, you know, what have we heard for the last 10 years? You know, Republicans have got to find more female candidates to run for office. You know, we need you know, Republicans have more women, you know, running and holding public office. And here you are in this open seat where you've got the governor of Texas endorsing not only teacher union candidates, the, you know, the candidates backed by the Democrat-controlled teacher unions, and literally these are, you know, some people, someone watching is going to say, oh no, they're teacher associations. No, this was actually the AFL-CIO affiliated group that is endorsing these two guys, literally these two guys. And these two guys' opponents are two lady Republicans who are running. They're actually women. They can probably define women, like our Supreme Court nominee. They're actually women who are running there. And Governor Abbott came in and endorsed the teacher union folks. She had like Jeremy Newman from the Texas Homeschool Coalition who pointed out that, you know, all of the advances that have been made for parental rights have been made really without the governor's involvement. You had Justin Berry, one of the two folks that the governor endorsed, who's actually against expanding charter schools at a time when you've got all of the you've got all the charter schools with big waiting lists. The numbers are now showing these charter schools are being successful academically, mm-hmm. and they do so for much less money than mm-hmm. the normal public school. And charter schools are ultimately public schools, but he doesn't want to have anything to do that. Why? Because the teacher unions don't want it. And Governor Abbott's going to have to, figure out why he, the governor should probably have to explain after he figures out why he decided to endorse teacher union candidates at a time when you've got the lieutenant governor of Texas and you've got Republican primary voters all saying, we want more options mm-hmm. for parents. We don't want to be closing down the schools to parents the way the teacher unions mm-hmm. want to.
Well, and school choice issues aside, right, these same unions, right, the American Federation of Teachers, these are people who have opposed efforts to essentially get rid of some of the pornography that we've seen in school libraries. Right. They've opposed efforts to get rid of the indoctrination that we've seen and some of the critical race theory that we've seen in public school classrooms. And so it doesn't really mesh. I think that's leading a lot of people to be a little bit confused on Governor Abbott's position. On one hand, we've seen him say that stuff is bad and wants to see that gotten rid of. On the other hand, though, it looks like he's siding with them right now. I think it's a confusing message to voters.
Yeah, well, it's a confusing message, but when you step back, we're talking about a moment ago, and remember that almost everyone in Austin is a member of the Uniparty. Mm-hmm. They're a member of the party of the crony lobby. And I think what you see here is that in the endorsement of Castile and the endorsement of Berry, you see the governor endorsing people who are more likely to be good soldiers for the Uniparty mm-hmm. than their opponents, Ellen Troxclair and Carrie Isaac. Now, I'm not in any way saying that either one of those two ladies are the next coming of Ronald Reagan or something, but I think by this endorsement kind of signals that the two of them, mm-hmm. at least when it comes to that fight between the Austin lobby and everyone else, the two of them are probably more on the mm-hmm. side of everyone else.
Mm-hmm. Well, and it'll be interesting to see just how much that endorsement, what kind of weight that
That's
has
right. yeah.
when voters go to the polls. Those runoff elections are May 24th. Michael, thank you so much for joining.
Thanks, Brandon.
I want to thank everybody for joining us on this episode. A quick reminder, we are hiring here at Texas Scorecard. If you'd like to know more about some of the positions we're looking for, you can go to texasscorecard.com/opportunities. As well as if you are between the ages of 18 to 25, or you know somebody who is that would like to spend a semester down here with us, you can learn about our fellowship program at texasscorecard.com/fellowship. We're taking applications for the fall and the spring. So we hope you check that out or send that along. Again, thank you so much for joining us. Have a great weekend.
Thank you for listening to The Headline. You can watch the premiere of The Headline on our website at 5:30 p.m. Central Standard Time. If you like today's production, please consider subscribing and leaving a review on whatever podcasting platform you listen on.